Hello and welcome to Uncluttered, a podcast that discusses the connection between faith and organizing. Our focus is not on how to be organized, but why it's important from a biblical standpoint to leave the clutter and the chaos in our lives behind. I'm Angie Heitch. I'm an author and certified professional organizer living in East Tennessee.
And I'm Leanna George, an author and former professional organizer living in Houston, Texas. Are you ready to unclutter your heart and home to make room for what matters most? If so, let's dive in.
All right. So Leanna, I heard a really good story recently, and I think it's a perfect beginning to this episode. It's based on a public health parable, which that in and of itself sounds interesting.
It just goes back to your nerdy obsessions.
and Jesus was all about parables. So,
well, that's true. He was. But I just love that you found a social, what'd you say, social health?
A public health parable. I used to work in public health when I was at CDC, which was another nerdy thing. So,
I'm not making fun of you. I love you for the way you are.
Yeah. But you do also like to make fun of me, and that's okay. So this parable was apparently written by a sociologist named Irving Zola. What a cool name. Mm-hmm. And it's usually referred to as the upstream story. Okay. So here's how it goes. You and a friend are having a picnic by the side of the river. Suddenly you hear a shout from the direction of the water. A child is drowning. Without thinking, you both dive in, grab the child, and swim to shore. But before you can recover, you hear another child cry for help. You and your friend jump back in the river to rescue her as well. Then another child drifts into sight, and another, and the two of you can barely keep up. Suddenly, you see your friend wading out of the water, seeming to leave you alone. "Where are you going?" you demand. Your friend answers, "I'm going upstream to tackle the guy who's throwing all the kids in the water."
Oh, that's a great story. I really like that. I never heard that before. That's a really good one. And I'm sure you told the story for a reason. So I'm dying to know the connection here. What does this story have to do with organizing?
Okay. So I'm glad you asked. It does seem unlikely that a parable about public health would give us some insight into decluttering and organizing. But the key principle in this story is that the friend, instead of focusing on the immediate problem of the kids in the river, this friend had the foresight to think of like, okay, what's the big picture? Why are all the kids in the river? And because this friend knew that they could never keep up with all the rescues. And so trying to figure out, okay, how did they get in the river in the first place? And can I stop that so that we can, you know, save these kids? So the friend literally went upstream to find the source of the problem.
I know this is just a parable, but the mom and me can't help but not be worried about all those other kids. I know that this is not what we're focusing on today, but I can't help going, were they able to save all those kids? You know, did that friend that left, did he at least call 911? You know, we've got a bunch of drowning kids here. Come help us. I mean, okay. That's just me. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And I mean, I've taken those CPR classes, and that's rule one. You either go call 911 or you get somebody to call. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. So I still haven't really answered the question about why I brought this story in. So what does going upstream, like this story with the friend and the river and the kids, what does it have to do with decluttering or organizing? Well,
Yes, please.
Okay. So we talk a lot on this podcast, on our blog and everything, about the importance of decluttering, and rightly so. And we talk about how clutter of any kind, whether it's physical, schedule, or attention, is a distraction. We should let it go. And we definitely stand by that advice. But here's where it comes into play. But if we don't take steps to stop the clutter before it comes in, we won't be able to keep up. We'd be like the two people in the river, like constantly getting the kids. So we also have to stop the inflow of clutter. In this episode, we are going upstream, and we're going to talk about being mindful about the things that we bring into our homes. And in particular, we're going to talk about our shopping habits.
Okay, good. Okay, we just want to make sure everybody understands this, as we've said before many times, this is a non-judgment zone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we are not judging you if you happen to be a shopper. Okay. Because I will admit that when I first got my cancer diagnosis, I went to Hobby Lobby and did some retail therapy and spent $200 on holiday decor, hoping that would make me feel better about getting that diagnosis. Right. So, you know, there's no judgment here. None at all. We're not saying that we are above and beyond, that we don't have this issue. But definitely you're right, Angie, going upstream has to be the way we go. And where does it normally start is with shopping for sure. But shopping isn't the only way items enter our homes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're given possessions for birthdays or other special occasions. Sometimes we inherit belongings from our family members. So, you know, or sometimes we go to a football game or a fair and, you know, they're giving out free goodies that right? Yeah. So, you know, we're not saying that shopping is the only problem. Okay. But for today's episode, we're going to focus on strictly our shopping habits, because when we as organizers worked with clients, that's where the majority of the problem started.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. All right. And so since we always like to base our episodes on scripture, I'm going to share a couple that come to mind when we think about shopping. Okay. So the Bible has over 2,000 verses talking about how we handle money. It's interesting that if you take the verses that talk about faith and the ones that talk about prayer and you add them together, there's still more verses talking about money than those two added together, which that just blew my mind when I read that.
Yeah, so, that's brain rattling there.
Yeah. So how we spend our money is really critical to how we live out our faith. So Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." So everything we have, including the money we use to shop, belongs to God. And as we said in season 2, episode 1, which was "How well am I managing God's gifts?" We need to be good stewards of the money God's given us. And so the real danger when it comes to how we spend our money is if we're not careful, our hearts can be pulled away from God. Luke 12:34 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Yeah, shopping is a very tricky subject. I mean, on the one hand, it's something we can't avoid, right? I mean, I don't know anybody who grows their own food, makes their own toiletries or their own clothes, right? So shopping is a necessity. We need to buy things for daily living, right? But beyond that, there are many categories that are non-essential or not necessary for daily living, like buying $200 of holiday decor at Hobby Lobby when you already have plenty, right? Mm-hmm. But these items make our lives more comfortable and more enjoyable, you know, try to lift our spirits. But while some people may like living with white walls, I like having decorations to make my home more pleasing to the eye. And while I don't need a TV, I enjoy watching movies and shows sometimes, right? I may not need a membership to a gym, but it helps me stay fit somewhat. I mean, you have to go, so there's that. But there are so many examples of things you've gotten accustomed to having. And in and of themselves, these things aren't wrong, right? But we need to be mindful of how much we're spending on the non-essentials.
Yeah, absolutely. So for many people, shopping is something they really enjoy. And shopping is, again, it is not wrong. It is not wrong to buy things. But when we overbuy in a way that builds up clutter, and then that clutter is a distraction that weakens our relationship with God, then we've got a problem. So since overbuying of non-essential things is such a huge source of physical clutter, we're going to share 5 of our favorite shopping tips for preventing excess. And Leanna and I both love alliteration. So all of these tips begin with the letter C.
All right. Yes. We love alliteration or things that we can, acronyms. We can discuss our strange tendencies about that kind of stuff later. Mm-hmm. Our first tip for our listeners today is to carefully consider every purchase. Okay. I mean, we can mindlessly shop. We know that, right? We want to get our minds off of something. We want to, you know, not think about things for a while. What better way than to window shop or, you know, go through a store and look at all the pretty things that they have, right? But that's not always a good thing. So here are a few questions to ask yourself while you're considering buying something, okay? And you don't have to answer all of these. Maybe you don't have an issue with all of those, but at least keep these things at the forefront of your mind while you're in the store. One, can I afford to part with this money? Okay. Or maybe you could say, is the money better spent on something else that is more critical right now? Mm-hmm. You know, another way to look at it is to consider the cost in terms of how many hours you have to work for the money for it. Let's say you earn $25 an hour and you're considering buying an outfit or some holiday decor that costs $200. Is that outfit and that holiday decor worth the 8 hours you work to earn it? Okay, probably not, right? This consideration may give you, looking at it that way can give you a new perspective. Okay. Yeah. So another question you might want to ask is this item better than a similar item I already own? Okay. If clutter is a real issue at your home, you might want to consider having a one in, one out strategy. Okay. So what that strategy or principle is that every time you bring something new into your home, you commit to have one item go out. Okay. Of that category, or preferably more than one from your home, you know, and this was something I would, pound home to my kids when we would go shopping. And that would be, okay, you want to buy this shirt? That's fine. Make sure you know what shirt you're going to get rid of when we get home. Mm. Okay. Not because I was a terrible mother, but because I wanted to train them early on to understand that principle. And it took a long time. I'm not going to lie. It didn't happen overnight. Same way with my husband. But I remember getting a text one day from my daughter, and the first thing was a picture of a whole bunch of pile of clothes, you know, and then the text underneath it said, getting ready to go shopping and purging first.
Mm, nice.
Oh, yes, it fit. Yeah. But having that one in, one out rule can really help cut down on the clutter.
Yeah.
All right. Next few questions. Do I need this item right now, or can I wait until later? And then if I still need it, reconsider. Number four, do I know exactly how and where I will use this? Is there room for it in my space already? Mm. Number five, will this item add value to my life? Was it serve a purpose or bring me joy? And if it doesn't add value, then maybe I really don't need it, right? I used to ask my girls when we were shopping, do you love it? And mm-hmm. Do you just like it? But do you love it? Because especially with clothes, we only wear 20% of the clothes we have, right? And so I wanted to make sure that they loved what shirt I was going to buy them. Because if they didn't, then guess what? Odds are they weren't going to wear it when we got home.
Yeah, you know? I'm thinking right now of some things and that are in my closet that I like them, but I don't love them. I never should have bought them. So
right. Yeah. Ask yourself, do I love it? Not only does it add value, but does it enjoy, but do I love it? And then finally, do I have time for any upkeep this item will require? And this is such a good question because we don't think about that when we're at the cash register, right? None of us think, what all is it going to take? I mean, in addition to the monetary cost of an item, you have to think about where are you going to store it, you know? How are you going to maintain it, clean it, feed it, water it, protect it, replace it, charge it, repaint it, accessorize it, take care of it, replace the batteries, on and on and on and on. I mean, you could just, there's so much. And you're like, but it's just this. Yeah, it's just this. But it has so much more to it. All right. So is this item really worth all the time and costs associated with it when you get to the cash register? You need to be thinking about these things, right? Because before you hand over that hard-earned cash or your credit card, which of these questions are you going to be answering? And hopefully it's several.
Yeah, these are great things to have at the front of your mind, not only when we're out at a store, but so many of us do significant portion of our shopping online. So it might be good to keep these available for both scenarios, both shopping in person and also shopping online.
Yeah. So, and it just, as we were talking, I was also reminded, you know, I don't remember where it is in the Bible, but Jesus talks about waiting 3 days to give an answer. And, you know, if you buy something, you know, and you ask yourself a question, like, do I really need it? You know, and you're so tempted, you know, just pause, give yourself 3 days. And then if you feel like, you know, you've answered these questions and you can still want to buy it, then go back and buy it. Right.
Yeah.
But too many times we make rash decisions when we are in a store. And so giving yourself that 3 days to really answer those questions will give you some insight and some direction that may prevent you from having problems later on.
Yeah, that's really good. Eric is a good example of this. I know when we, early in our marriage, he had the rule of if something was over $25, he would make himself wait several days. And that number has changed. That amount of money has changed, but he still kind of has that same principle. But he waits for a little while.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We used to buy groceries for the two of us for a week for $25. I can promise you that number has changed.
Oh my goodness.
That's crazy. All right. Let's keep going. What's tip number two?
All right. So first tip, carefully consider every purchase. And we have those questions. Tip two, create a wish list. So instead of just automatically buying something that you're considering, put that item on a wish list and you can always reconsider it at a later time. This will also really come in handy if it's time for a birthday or Christmas or Mother's Day or whatever it is. You've got some gift ideas at the ready. This is also a really good idea for parents that are out shopping with children. They see something they want. I used to do this with the girls. I would see something. It wasn't necessarily a good time to buy it. I'd say, okay, we're not going to get that today, but I'm going to add it to your wish list. Mm-hmm. And so they knew they might receive it another time. It was really helpful. And there's, you know, it could just be as simple as a piece of paper or notes on your phone or a gifter list, lots of ideas. So create a wish list.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon, which most of us shop solely on, even has add to my wish list, right?
Yeah.
On there. So, you know, just add it to your wish list. And then, you know, when you have the time or space and you created room for it in your life, then go back to your wish list and then you can buy, right?
Yeah.
So really good idea. I like that. I love that, Angie. I love that you were tell that to your kids because I wish I would have done that too. That was such a good idea. So a lot of parenting tips here today as well. Tip number three, circumvent the sales. Okay. There is something inside of us that just can't resist a sale. I don't know what it is, especially if it's 50% or more off the regular price. Our brain just does something, right? It just like, oh my goodness, about how much money I'm going to save, right? You're still spending money.
But,
you know, but I think we use it to justify, right?
Yeah.
Purchase, right? But keep in mind that just because items are marked, are on sale, they've been usually marked up so that they can later be marked down, right? So you're really not saving. The stores usually let us think that, but we're not. So if you can't truthfully justify a purchase, don't let the fact that being on sale is, you know, pressures you into making a bad decision.
Yeah. Yep. You know? All right. So number 4C is to continue walking. So let's say you're out shopping, you're physically shopping, not online shopping. You see something that you like, it can seem almost effortless to just grab it off the shelves or off the hanger and just toss it in our cart. And then we get up to the cash register and we buy it. So one of my clients gave me this tip and I think it's great. So she sees something that she's considering. She pauses. She kind of thinks a little bit, but she just keeps on walking. Mm-hmm. And she said that if by the time she gets to the register, she hasn't thought about it again, then she figures that's not really something I need in my life.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really good one. It reminds me of, do you remember VeggieTales?
Yes.
Jericho. Keep walking, but you won't knock down our walls. Keep walking.
Keep walking.
Yeah. So just keep walking. She said this simple tip has decreased her shopping tremendously. So
yeah, and if not, sing VeggieTales.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So good. So good. I hope that our listeners are really taking notes because there's some really good tips here.
Yes.
Tip number five is choose a different course. Now, if you are a person who loves to shop, this probably won't be easy for you, but we believe it will benefit you greatly to substitute other activities for mindless, just for fun shopping, right? Figure out something else to do that would, you know, contribute to your life and well-being, the lines with your values, and that will keep you from being tempted to spend money on useless things, that, you know, those non-essentials. You know, maybe you take a friend with you, right? And that's how you enjoy shopping. Well, why don't you and the friend go for a walk in the park together instead, right? Or go to the gym together, or go to the library together. Mm-hmm. There you can get free books, right? Mm-hmm. And you have to return them, so you don't keep them.
Yeah.
you know, try to find something else to do instead of. So that's why we're saying choose a different course of action. You know, even though you won't be shopping, you'll still have that companionship, you know, you mm-hmm. have with your friend, but it also benefit your health. And if you don't have a friend to go with you and you shop alone, then, you know, again, just think of what else could I be doing with this time? Is this the best use of my time? You know, especially if you're doing non-essential shopping, is this the best use of my time? And what else, what would be the better option?
Yeah. And another thing I just thought of is, you know, you could, if you truly do love to shop, then think of like maybe your favorite nonprofit. They've got wish lists. Go shop for them, you know?
Yes.
Shop for things that are useful for someone else that don't contribute to the clutter in your home. Just something I thought of. And this isn't easy. I'm remembering a particular client that she and her mother, that's what they did together, like all the time. They just shop, shop, shop. And so we talked about, what else could you guys do together? And, you know, so we talked about volunteering. We talked about exercising. We talked about other things. So realize that we know that it's not always just simple to say, okay, I'm gonna pick something else, but it really is worth considering how you can substitute a different activity.
Yeah. You just have to get creative, I think, with the alternative, right? And it definitely just makes you a while to find that one that works. Don't say, well, if this isn't working, I'm going back to shopping. You know, try two or three different things and see what does fill that space better for you and go there. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when we have a problem with something, if we don't go a different route, then, you know, we get easily sucked back in. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard, but no temptation is beyond us, right?
Yes. Yes. That scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13, when we're tempted, even if we know it's a bad choice and we're still tempted, then just keep in mind, no temptation is overtaking you except what is common to mankind. God is faithful and not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he'll also provide a way out so you can endure it. So look for the way out when you're tempted to purchase when you know you don't need to be purchasing. Yeah. You got a house full of clutter and you still want to bring that stuff in. Look for that escape route.
Yes. And he will offer that to you. He mm-hmm. will, without judgment. And that's just so hopeful.
Yes. Another great scripture when it comes to temptation is Titus 2:11-13. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion. So God's Spirit can give you the self-control to be able to say no if you know that it's not something that you need.
Yeah. Such good encouragement, such good hope for us, because it is a struggle in this day and time. It can be a true struggle for people. And so we want to just let you know that we know that it's a struggle. We are not passing judgment, and we just want to offer you some solid advice and some sound scripture to encourage your heart and mind. So speaking of that, let's do our real quick recap about what we've share today on the episode. Shopping is something we all have to do. But with inspiration from our scriptures, we can be more mindful and intentional about our purchases. So very important. We need to remember that we have everything we need, including the money we use to shop. All of it belongs to God. Mm-hmm. And if we're not careful, our purchases can become a treasure that can become our treasure instead of our relationship to God being our most treasured item. And then we left you with 5 shopping tips that all start with C. Carefully consider every purchase, create a wish list, circumvent the sales, continue walking, choose a different course. And then finally, just remember, God can show us a way out of any temptation. And he's given us a spirit of self-control that does allow us to say no.
All right. So that is it for this episode of the Uncluttered Podcast. We are so glad you're listening. We'd love for you to share this episode with someone you know. Maybe you could share it with your favorite person to shop with. And that way that person would know, oh, that's why she's talking to me about shopping. We just love to get this message about uncluttered and abundant life to as many people as possible. And the number one way we're able to do that is through listeners like you sharing with friends and family.
Yeah. So that wraps this episode of the Uncluttered Podcast. Until next time, remember, an uncluttered life is an abundant life.